Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Welcome to ET First Contact Radio. My name is Maarten Horst. I am your host every week on BBS Radio. And I have a very special guest today. His name is Ed Komarek. And Ed is a renowned author and specialist in UFOs, exopolitics, and the New World Disorder. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Hello, Maarten.
It's good to have you on the show. And I want to start right now by asking you how you came in the field of this knowledge of UFOs and the cover-up and everything that's related to it. So please tell me a bit about your history.
Okay, it started, I lived down in South Georgia in plantation country, and when I was 17 years old, I went to Fairbanks, Alaska to go to college. And one cold day in Fairbanks in the middle of winter, I walked out with some pool hall and on the downtown streets of Fairbanks, which is like a frontier town at that time, and walked into a back street, and there was this little New Age bookstore, and I opened up the door and walked in to the sound of chimes and smell of incense and books on UFOs, extraterrestrials, on reincarnation, out-of-body experiences, just about everything you could think about the paranormal, and I felt right at home. And I started reading those books, and over the next two or three years, it pushed me into an existential crisis in which, you know, it really got me to wondering what was really going on and what was life really about and who was I. And I sort of hit rock bottom when I was around 21 or 22. And these three beings that I can only conceive of as like dewdrops in the morning said, your path is truth, your vehicle is honesty, and the fuel for your vehicle is love. But it came to me in like a complete thought form, and I'm just breaking it down into words here. And after that, you know, I practiced good mental and emotional hygiene, and on myself, I got into transcendental meditation. I started researching, not only reading books on UFOs and reincarnation, I started actually researching and investigating UFOs, and that's how I got started.
Well, it sounds quite familiar to me, because I have a similar story, because since I was a child, in fact, I was knowing somehow that there was more about life to than this reality that school is showing us, and I also went to different bookstores and find out that there are books and people that you can talk to that know about ETs and UFOs and the paranormal. And I also had a nervous breakdown that brought me, in fact, closer to spirituality. So I think for many people, your story sounds familiar, Ed.
Yeah, sometimes the old has to break down for the new to arise, and this is what happened to me, and it happens to others. But unfortunately, with a lot of people, they get caught back up in the normal world of, you know, survival and children and family and all that, and they, you know, forget the experience and they stop their search, you know, so they get off the path to enlightenment. And some of us, you know, stick it out and orientate our lives and construct our lifestyle so that we can concentrate on understanding what life is about and who we are. And that's how I, you know, and from the broader context, I began to narrow down to UFOs, because you were dealing with something physical and you could kick the tires, so to speak. And so that's when I began concentrating on the UFO field, this smaller context. But still quite large, of extraterrestrial contact. And over the years, not only did I research and talk to a lot of contactees and people that had contact and abductees and, you know, and whatever, I went investigated my local area, set up my own little intelligence gathering network here around Cairo, Georgia, and within a 50-mile radius, I was getting a couple of sightings every week. And I followed some of those sightings to where there was a cluster, and I ended up coming into contact with the people actually that had contact with the extraterrestrials, and I saw the extraterrestrial craft, and in fact that craft followed me home that night, but I never had direct contact with occupants other than the craft, seeing the craft and the craft following me home.
Yes, but you have spoken to people who have indeed had contact.
Yes, a lot of people, and over the years I collected a lot of cases of the best cases in my mind of extraterrestrial contact and also whistleblower testimony. And here at the end of my life now, I'm 64 years old, I felt it was important to pull all this together into a book. I've been writing a blog for the last 10 or 12 years, and these blog articles are more like archive material. They're not edited as the book is. The book is much better edited. I got friends to help me to edit the book and whatever. And so the book is like a collection of credible extraterrestrial contact cases and testimonies. And it's called UFOs, Exopolitics, and the New World Disorder. And basically what I'm talking about is the UFO cover-up is not being orchestrated on the level on the level of governments or elected officials. It's beyond that. It's what I call the Bilderberg Mafia of European royalty, global bankers and industrialists that are basically have a tremendous amount of influence over what happens in the world. And what they did was is they got the best intelligence early on in 1947 and even before that, and then they acted on that intelligence. We're still in the collection. Many people are still in the collection and analysis stage in the field, but we got to get beyond that. We got to get beyond collection and analysis to implications, issues and implications, because our adversaries are already, a long time ago, got on issues and applications and started to make and made moves in order to protect their interest and to essentially attack the consciousness of the public in order to protect their industries, like the fossil fuels industry, from new innovations that were associated with extraterrestrial contact. They didn't want the fossil fuels industry, the transportation industry, pharmaceutical industry to go the way of the gaslight companies when the electric light bulb was invented. When the electric light bulb was invented, just the invention of the electric light bulb, the gaslight company stocks went from $100 a share down to $1 a share. And so and so they protected those interests. The other thing, main reason for the cover up is there's trillions of dollars to be made in reverse engineering these technologies as described by Colonel Corso in his book, The Day After Roswell. And by maintaining a monopoly on these technologies and a monopoly on access and keeping other corporations and businesses out of it, they are able to make and accumulate trillions of dollars. And then the third reason is they know that if the people of the world had direct contact with some of these more ethically advanced human races and saw how well off they were, they wouldn't have much use for the privileged class, a globalist privileged class anymore. So globalist privileged class is very survival is at stake here, because they know that just like what's happening in Syria today, the people, once they know there's a better life, they begin to revolt against external controls being applied through autocratic regimes. And this Bilderberg Mafia, globalist Bilderberg Mafia, is a very powerful autocratic regime into controlling all aspects of our lives and creating this so-called New World Order global government in which it's more like a global police state or a global plantation with them as masters and us as their servants or slaves. So we've got to fight against this. And interestingly enough, I came at this from the UFO angle, whereas other people have come from a more terrestrial political angle, have come to this same conclusion, which is very interesting.
Yes, indeed. But I think I think you concur, I hope, that now the people are waking up with internet and more people like yourself coming to the public with empirical evidence about UFOs and extraterrestrials, that this Bilderberg Club is not happy with it. And secondly, I think that the Galactic somehow will interfere so that their power structure will break down. What's your idea about it?
Yeah, but the power structure is going to have to break down because before the UFO cover-up can be released, because if the power structure remains, there's going to be what I'm afraid is this false flag alien invasion type of disclosure that'll be very dishonest and used to manipulate people into this world one world government that these globalists want. And so that's a very much a concern to me. But things are looking up. You're right. There is this awakening. And in fact, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the advisor to Rockefellers and to the global elite, was in Poland here just recently, and he said that that the New World Order was in trouble, and they were unable to suppress this awakening. And so things are looking up. It's kind of like, each of us is small like a bee, but a swarm of bees can overrun a much bigger predator once they wake up and realize they're being attacked. And that's what I think is happening on a global scale with the use of the social networks.
Yes, indeed. So what kind of scenario, what kind of path could you give us for this positive disclosure announcement What do you see needs to happen between now and the initial broadcasts on our old television networks for disclosure?
Well, I don't think the governments, you know, are really going to disclose until it becomes absolutely obvious and they can't, you know, hold back any longer. And when they do, what I'm concerned about is that they will, you know, Henry Kissinger in 1992 at a Bilderberg meeting said that, you know, real or contrived, basically that the alien threat, you know, real or contrived, could be used to consolidate power into the world government. And I have the quote on my Facebook page. And by the way, people that would like to contact me and learn more and also get daily news, UFO news and extraterrestrial contact news, can contact me on Facebook. I accept all Facebook requests, and I'm still not up to my limit yet. So people can contact me and they can get more information that way. And I also have a blog that they can go to, which is exopolitics.blogspot.com/. They can see some of my material there and articles on exopolitics. And so I'm pretty easy to contact on Facebook. I'm not on email as much as I used to be, but UFOs and exopolitics and the New World Disorder is what I pulled together, you know, from 40 years of investigation and research, because I felt especially young people need to build on this information that us older folks have accumulated. I very much appreciate what the people that I built on that wrote books that I studied when I was a young man, like I would describe, just like you did. And so it's very important. You're kind of like the fruit flies of the galaxy. So it's very, you know, we don't have long lifespans as compared to some of these extraterrestrials, which have a lifespan of 1,000 years or more. So the only advantage we have is adaptability, in that we can, if we can educate our young and have them build on what we know until we too have long enough lifespans to become a much more stable society.
Yes. Yes, Ed. Can I ask you a question about ascension and channeled messages from extraterrestrials? What's your take on them?
It's very complicated. I tend to avoid channeled messages. I keep an eye on it. If you have a channeler in which other witnesses are actually seeing physical craft and whatever, I get much more interested. But the problem is you know, so many people are channeling their subconscious. Either they have these paranoid fantasies of alien invasion and whatever, or they have these ascension fantasies that ET is wonderful and that there are no worries. And actually, you know, I've been benefited because I was raised up in one of the early ecological families. In fact, Herb Stoddard, one of the fathers of ecology, was both a mentor to myself and a mentor to my dad. He was a good friend of Otto Leopold. So I saw in ecology how ecology evolved out of the natural sciences, and the same thing is, you know, same thing is now happening here. And from my ecological perspective, I realized that life just doesn't change once we move into space. You know, we still, you know, we're at the top predator on this planet. You have to understand that it looks like, from the contact cases in the first chapter of the book, I described this, that what we're seeing in extraterrestrial contact cases, you know, there are about perhaps two-thirds are human or humanoid types, and another third is a kind of a catch-all for reptilian, insectoids, grays, and this sort of thing. And so there's a great diversity of extraterrestrials out there who evolved from their home planets, and also a lot of genetic manipulation that has gone on and whatever. And there are conflicts between these extraterrestrials, and some are quite predatory and some are more orientated toward win-win strategies and whatever. And so I get into that. I got a whole chapter on extraterrestrial warfare that goes back to the Vedas and the Bible and other religious texts and whatever, with cases that are going right up to the present, like one in Russia where three saucers fought with beams to a golden UFO, and the golden UFO crashed to Earth. It was witnessed by many, many people in Russia, and cases right on up to date. So it's, you know, it's so below, I mean, as below, so above. And So we have to be really careful. There's a lot of people trashing this field with claimed extraterrestrial contact through telepathic means, when in fact they're often communicating with their own subconscious, and their subconscious is feeding them what they want to see. So it's tricky. It's good to get into cases that particularly where people have had contact, describe their events, maybe wish they hadn't talked about it, because when it got around, it caused a lot of problems for them, and then they went back with their lives. So I tried to use a lot of cases like that and not get into the channel cases or whatever, because it's so hard to sort out what is real and what is not when you're dealing with people's minds without some kind of physical evidence to build upon.
Yes, well, I must say it's in general very hard to get physical evidence at all. But I found some of these channelings quite comforting, and they're giving me kind of a good direction into what to expect from the first contact and the post-first contact scenario, from what will happen and how they will help us.
Yeah, well, it's very helpful to me as an investigator or research if you've had sightings of actual physical craft and that have been witnessed by other people. That pretty much begins to establish in my mind, in the minds of other people, that you're not channeling your own subconscious, but you're actually channeling, or having telepathic contact with extraterrestrials.
Right. Yes. Okay. So, can you explain a bit about exopolitics, what the word means, and what you know about it, and what you know what's going on in the exopolitics field and elite contacts?
Okay, what's going on is it just like I talked about, being raised in an early ecological family in which ecology was just emerging out of the natural sciences. In fact, it was ecology was built and founded by old museum collectors who were out in the field investigating and collecting animals, and they began to realize these animals were interacting with each other and they had relationships amongst themselves. But the taxonomists in the field museum Dad used to argue with, that lived down the worked down in the basement of the field museum in Chicago, where they were just dealing with dead skins and sorting, and doing analysis on different birds and plants and animals. And Dad could never convince them that there was a basis for ecology. They said, "Show us a relationship. There's no such as a relationship. You can't touch, feel it, sense it, or whatever. When I can touch and feel a relationship, then I'll believe." And then, interestingly enough, it's very similar in the field of exopolitics. You've got the UFO community that are categorizing all these different types of UFO craft and contact people that had contact with different type of extraterrestrial races and whatever, but they're having a hard difficulty jumping to the field of exopolitics, because exopolitics is really kind of it's like ecology, and it's the interrelationship between extraterrestrials and then also their interactions with us. And so a lot of people in the field, UFO field, can't make that jump to exopolitics, to understand that, not only are we dealing with maybe over 120 different types of extraterrestrial races that, our government knows about, but they have many different kind of relationships and conflicts and alliances and all this sort of thing, just like we see in nature and ecology around us, on the land and whatever. You have predator-prey relationships all through not only the natural world, but through our society. Our own people are preying on each other, So there's this competition and cooperation going on within the natural world and within human society, and it's really what I'm finding out, that it's no different on a much larger scale. And it's very important for us to get on top of this and be transparent as to what's going on, because we need to be creating alliances with these extraterrestrial races that have both not only just their interest in mind, but also our interest in mind, and they're not predatory and preying on us. Unfortunately, because everything has been so secret and whatever, there have been alliances apparently with the Greys and other extraterrestrials and trading for technology. Maybe allowing people to be abducted against their will in exchange for technological benefits and whatever. And this is very wrong, and it should not be happening. It is very dangerous because these more predatory races could eventually, you know, we could set up the stage where they could take us over, and the more advanced races who have to be concerned about violations of free will can't interfere if this is what we are insisting on doing, you know, that they're trying to, you know, present their perspective to us and have us go in their direction. But it's, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, sort of thing. So a lot of it is up to us. We're like a little third world country surrounded by superpowers. No one superpower can move in and take us over because other superpowers will countermand that. So we have a certain amount of individuality and identity and determination for the type of future that we want for ourselves. And so we need to collectively create a bright future for ourselves by creating, by pushing for transparency and alliances with the more advanced extraterrestrial, human extraterrestrials in particular.
Right. Okay. So that's very interesting. There are, as I see it, there's a sequence in events. The first event will be not a false flag invasion, hopefully, but it will be formal disclosure by our government, and disclosure will be followed by a first contact mission where those benevolent ETs will land. What's your idea about it, Ed?
Well, you're having, you know, perhaps a telepathic contact here, you know, which we will assume is correct. I don't know how it's going to shake out. You know, I think that's one of the prerequisites. You know, in fact, you know, back it was alleged that President Eisenhower here in the United States met with at least two or three different alien races. And the first one was supposedly the Nordics, the more ethical type of extraterrestrials. And they said they would work with us, providing we would cut back on you know, atomic testing, and that was causing, you know, problems not for us, not only for us, but for them also. But we weren't willing to do that. So and they warned us about this other type of extraterrestrial, which I assume was the Greys, that then they didn't interact with. And so the more advanced extraterrestrial humans had to back off and let us, you know, when our leaders got in bed, so to speak, with these less advanced extraterrestrials. So I don't know how this thing's going to shake out. It's a covert war, you know, not just going on in our own society, but it's covert interactions and war going on between these extraterrestrials. And we're kind of in the middle of it because we're kind of a emerging society, kind of up for grabs as to who we are going to align ourselves with. So a lot of it depends on a consciousness of people, you know, collectively to who we align ourselves with. If we keep too much of a negative perspective and destructive mentality and whatever, we're probably going to go in the direction of the Greys, which would be very bad for us, and which we would probably be taken over and enslaved. But if we, you know, go to our higher self, work towards our higher self and whatever, and become aware and enlightened individuals, then we can move more and have interactions with the more ethically advanced type. So I think we're still kind of up for grabs. So I don't know how this thing's going to shake out. You know, once governments disclose, you know, are they going to give us an honest disclosure? You know, that say that there's a lot of different extraterrestrial races, and we have to, you know, create alliances with the more advanced types and avoid some of these other more destructive types. Are they going to say, you know, take our secret space fleet that we've built from reverse engineering technology, shoot up our cities just like we're being prepared for in science fiction movies almost, you know, constantly of late and whatever, and then blame it and pull out some alien bodies and blame it on the extraterrestrials and say that we all got to unite to fight these extraterrestrials. So, you know, I don't know how it's going to shake out.
Well, I don't know either, but the things that I believe from what people are saying on internet, on different news websites, is that there will be formal disclosure once the New World Disorder is dismantled, because they control the media, and the media that is controlled could also create an event like a false flag alien invasion. So once those people are removed, then there can be a more elaborate and honest disclosure.
Yeah, well, I think it's up to us to, in a large extent, to remove those people, not for the extraterrestrials to do that. So we, you know, we have a job to do here, and that is to become more aware and to remove the these people that are controlling our destiny and destroying our future and actually destroying the planet, you know, with the continuance of fossil fuels technology and this sort of thing and whatever. And so it might very well be that we might end up in a civil war like that happened in Libya and that's happened in Syria until we can get control over this situation. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope people wake up fast enough to deal with it before it becomes a violent situation, you know. And I'm kind of with you. I think once that shakes out, then I think the more advanced extraterrestrials can step in and begin working with us. But as long as we have this obstacle of these Bilderberg globalists that are out to create this global autocratic global plantation, and basically they're violating their promises that the European rulers that that we have here, you know, in these different countries, in the Netherlands particularly, and in England and these other countries, you know, they made a promise not to reestablish the monarchy, you know, in order to stay in power. But what they're doing is they're trying to reestablish the monarchy on a global basis with them in control of us in a more feudal society like it was back, you know, hundreds of years ago and whatever. And we've got to look forward and not fall backward into feudalism. We have to create an organizational structure for ourselves that's not like the food chain in nature with a few top predators at the top that feed on everybody all the way down the bottom. But we have to create an organizational structure through our social networks that operates the same way that our body operates. If our left hand got fat while our right hand starved to death, we wouldn't live very long. And in fact, what I say in this book is that we're organizing a higher level of fractal, the same thing that goes on when protozoans and individual critters, you know, started combining into sponges and jellyfishes and all that sort of thing and started working together in order to compete with the single-celled organisms. This is a higher level of organizational structure. And this is, I think, what's happening is when we have billions of people organized through the social networks, they'd be like neural networks, and we collectively will move into a type of organizational structure run by supercomputers and quantum networks, quantum supercomputers and quantum networks, the same way that our body is being run and functioning, where we all get the resources that we need to do the work that we want to do. And so I'm hopeful in that respect, but we're kind of, you know, on the edge. You know, we're collectively choosing what type of way we want to go. Do we want to fall back into autocracy and to medieval rulers controlling the serfs and the peasants? Or do we want to move forward to a more advanced organizational structure like the more advanced extraterrestrial humans have, that is run by supercomputers and everybody is monitored and everybody is interconnected, but everybody is not being controlled through this technology like what the Greys, you know, are trying to create, you know, with the so-called New World Order, which is really the old world disorder just repackaged in new clothes. And so I'm very hopeful that we're changing and that we will make it this time, because if we don't, and in fact, there's a little extraterrestrial book you might be interested in. It's called Amy, Child of the Stars. And in this, written by a South American author, and in this book, they said that basically what happens is there's a kind of a natural selection process. If a civilization is not ready to move to the next level, they fall back and collapse back, you know, maybe for thousands of years and have to rebuild themselves. And this apparently has happened to us before and whatever. So we're either going to make it this time or we're going to fall back into a Stone Age kind of situation and whatever, and have to rebuild our society back from scratch like apparently has happened before. And this, in effect, protects them because this sort of natural selection process, you know, cuts out problem species that could be very harmful to them. So that's another reason they don't necessarily want to interfere that much, because if they interfered too much and brought us up to their level before we were ready, we could become a threat to them in their societies.
Right. Interesting. And so how many types of beings are we speaking about? We have, if we speak about the more evolved benevolent ETs, there are Nordics, humanoids, and there are, of course, the greys, reptilians. But I have also heard there are benevolent reptilians and benevolent insectoids. So what can you tell us about what kind of ETs are known to your research?
Well, when Clifford Stone, whistleblower Clifford Stone, you know, army surgeon who worked on crash retrievals, who, you know, most people know from the internet and whatever, and I got to interview personally, and the interview is on my blog, he said at the time, I think it was like 53 or 57, he saw this little medical book for working with, extraterrestrials that had been hurt or whatever, and how to deal with them, whatever. And it was like 57. And then these other cases that I've run across said that the number is now up to around 120. And it kind of depends how you group these different races and whatever, because what you got is these collectives. You've got this human collective, I think you got this gray collective and maybe a reptilian collective, you know, like, you know, if the asteroid that hit the Earth hadn't hit the Earth, we may have had an intelligent reptile evolve on this planet. If the asteroid that hit the Earth had been much more powerful and knocked out everything but the insects, we might have an intelligent insect evolve on the Earth. So evolution has certain strategies that seem to be that have happened on this planet, but they also seem to have happened on other planets, from single-celled organisms to sponges to jellyfish to fishes to amphibians to reptiles to mammals, etc. And they evolve to the top predator on the planet, and then they leave the planet and go to other star systems, whatever, where they interact with other races that have been able to do the same thing, and that these distances are not impossible distances to cross between the stars, no more than it was in sailing ships to cross the Atlantic, you know, and find the new world in other countries, you know, at the time when people thought that you just drop off the ends of the Earth and that would be it, whatever. But in fact, the Earth was round, and this new technology allowed us to European colonizers to move out and colonize the rest of the planet. And apparently we've been colonized and manipulated as a species. So, you know, maybe starting even with the hominids, you know, right on up to Homo erectus and to Homo sapiens and whatever. So we're intimately connected. Some people say we may, not only do we have 4% Neanderthal genes in our bodies, especially the Europeans do. They just, you know, proved that recently by understanding the Neanderthal genome that was interbreeding between Neanderthals and Homo sapiens back tens of thousands of years ago and whatever. And we also, it's beginning to look like there's been interbreeding between extraterrestrial humans and our human race that's described in the body, you know, in the Neofilm, where the Neofilm came down and saw the daughters of men as beautiful and had children by them, et cetera. And I mean, this goes back into a lot of the Sumerian texts and whatever and whatnot. So we may have 20, you know, as many as 20 or more extraterrestrial genotypes and genes in our bodies, along with the Neanderthal genes, which are up to 4% with Europeans and none apparently with Africans, because the Neanderthals, they moved out and then they kind of got wiped out of Africa fairly early and became Homo sapiens, and then there was this interbreeding going on. So we seem to be, Homo sapiens seems to be just a subspecies of Neanderthals. And what Albert Rosales has 14,000 cases now, a collection of human contact cases. You can find this on the internet by Googling his name. When I wrote the book, I saw 4,000 cases, and I talked to him recently, and he said he had around 15,000 cases of humanoid-type extraterrestrials, all the way ranging from a few inches high to huge giants 14 or 16 feet high or whatever. So there's probably as many different types of humans out there as we have dogs and cats, all, you know, variations of the dogs from the wolf and the cats from the original cat and whatever. So there's been a lot of interbreeding going on between this human mega population that I wrote about in the book, and same thing seems to be going on with the grays what seemed to be another mega population, and these mega populations are colliding and interacting each other in conflicts and cooperation and whatever. So we're emerging into a very complex ecosystem of extraterrestrial life and becoming aware of it. That's so much more advanced than just terrestrial politics. You know, it makes terrestrial politics as peanuts as compared to extraterrestrial politics and how all indirect in our origins and how human extraterrestrials are, you know, cooperate and work amongst themselves and everything.
Yes. Interesting point of view, Ed. It's interesting how you have researched all this, and it's so much knowledge that you have. In fact, we should have more time to cover all the things that you know about ETs and the interaction with humans in the past and how it's evolving to this now moment.
It's all there in my book in a kind of compact, well-edited format. You know, it's also in my blog, but it's kind of scattered out and it's not organized that well. So I would suggest that people get my book. They can order it from Amazon, Amazon Europe, Amazon UK, Amazon US. And also, if they check in with me on Facebook, I have 5 days out of every 3 months which I can make the Kindle version free so they can download it anywhere in the world. So I have people reading my book now from all over the world. I have my book came out in July, and I believe I'm approaching 4,000 copies, mostly free Kindles, maybe 90% Kindles. That have been downloaded from all over the world and whatever. So the word is getting out. So what I've done is concentrate my whole life on not only, you know, understanding the even bigger picture of reincarnation, out-of-body travel and experiences and this sort of thing that I'm going to write hopefully in the second book, The Long Hard Road to Enlightenment. But I wanted to pull all this extraterrestrial knowledge that I've gained from a lifetime of concentrated work into a book that is an intelligence product for both the layperson and the expert, and that can be that other people can build on, just like I built on the books and writings and thoughts of other people before me. I would never have arrived at the point that I have if I hadn't built on so many other people, you know, all the way back to Plato and, you know, the Bible and the Vedas and all the way up to, you know, Ram Dass, Be Here Now, Human Biocomputer by Lilly. All these books and whatever, you know, enabled me to move much further forward in my understanding of life and myself than I ordinarily have been able to do. And so that's what I'm trying to do for other people while I still am kind of at the peak of my development. And at 65, I noticed my father started deteriorating somewhat, and into the 70s, it was fairly rapid. So I wanted to get this out before too much longer. And so it's out there now. And as things develop, people can build on this.
Yes. You've got to tell the name of your first book.
Okay, the first book is UFOs, Exopolitics, and the New World Disorder. That's the one that's now out and available to the public on Amazon. The next book will be The Long Hard Road to Enlightenment, and I'm just researching and beginning to write it right now.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you're getting along quite well, and I think we have been friends on Facebook for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years already. I have seen some of your posts through the years, and I started my radio program 2 years ago almost, and became interested in you, and then I thought, okay, let's ask if Ed wants to be on the show, and I'm very happy to have you here, Ed.
And that's what it's all about, is networking, and hopefully you and others that are much younger than I am can build on this, and so you can go further in your understanding of what's going on, just as the same way it happened to me. So, you know, like I say, our lifetimes are not long. We're kind of the fruit flies of the galaxy, so it's very important that we get good quality information to the hands of the younger people for them to build on and whatever, and to share this high quality information. And I emphasize high quality information because when we share trash or garbage, you know, we bring everybody down, you know. So we want to share good, high quality information that's credible and not just, you know, our imaginations running wild, which is happening so much on the internet today.
Yes, yes. But I must tell you that by working together and sharing high-quality information, we can break the matrix, and then less and less people will watch the mainstream media, and somehow then the mainstream media will collapse, and only on social networks people will say, okay, this is the truth. I mean, this is what's happening. There is extraterrestrial contact. We have been engaged for thousands of years, and now it's important to get the truth out, and then they will be forced to tell the public what's going on.
Yeah, that's an important thing. As you know, we're disorganized and fragmented, you know, and they've done what they can to keep us fighting amongst ourselves while they, you know, manipulate and control the system to their benefit. But we can turn that around, you know. We can find there's cracks forming in the amongst the Bilderberg elite as well. The Russians have lost a lot of ground in Eastern Europe to them, and so they're on to the Bilderbergers, and they're actually helping expose the Western oligarchs, you know, plan to control the world, because the Russian oligarchy is probably no better than our oligarchies, still don't want to be ruled by the Western oligarchs. So that they're actually helping. They've helped people like Daniel Ellsland, who wrote a book that's sold 5 million copies worldwide on the Bilderbergs, and his grandfather was a KGB agent that protected other KGB agents in Russia and Estonia from the last purge by Stalin, and they feel a benefit from this and have tried to help him, as well as the Russian oligarchs are trying to expose Bilderberger in order to weaken them, because they're concerned that they will be overrun by these Western oligarchs that are using money to control all aspects of people's lives, to control all aspects of our lives, to control the national security states of countries, to control the media, to control science, control education. Money can be used to all of this through the central banking networks in every country. So it's all interconnected.
In the Netherlands, if you go to the palace of the Queen of the Netherlands and you say to the guards, I want to talk to her, you have the possibility to be imprisoned. How about it?
Yeah, well, that's where we're headed. And basically, Rockefeller talked to his good friend Rizzuto and David Rockefeller, and explained that his ultimate goal was to chip everybody, and that way our bank accounts, you know, all aspect of our lives can be controlled through supercomputers and whatever. And we can't allow that kind of autocratic use of our technology to happen to us. We have to turn this thing around. And you know, the problem with these autocrats is they're not very smart either. You know, they'd rather be on top of the top people on the dung pile rather than feast, you know, with everybody else's equals at a great dinner. So they don't get, you know, they don't get it either. And part of our job is not only to educate their army and turn their army against them, but try to re-educate as many of them as we can, that these global elite, that they too will be better off if our society is organized like our body is organized, where all the different cells are taken care of and fed and nourished and waste products taken away and whatever, and where we can check out a spaceship just like we check out a book from the library at no cost, or obtain food at no cost, because supercomputers and all this technology takes care of all this. So it frees us up to work on our path to enlightenment, that as individuals and as a society. And so we're not tied down by all these survival aspects, because computers and technology takes care of all this. It allows us, just like the cells in the body, to move to a whole new level of understanding about life and et cetera.
Yes, indeed. And these organs in our bodies are working together and interrelating, and are connected by nerves and blood cells It's a harmonic whole, and as we, as a planet, all life on and off the planet can accomplish to work together, to share information, to be honest to each other, then we can have a wonderful society.
Yes,
intergalactic.
It has to be high quality information. We don't want to share trash. You know, that's why we got to be very careful not to create disinformation or misinformation and spread it around, or if it comes to us, to stop it right there and not send it any further. We need to be discriminating enough in our networks and whatever.
You know what, Ed? I think when this Bilderberg Club is dismantled, because I think normal people like you and me, they don't share so much real trash to each other. I think the problem is more what the media, the mainstream media, is sending out, that war is normal, murder is normal, because the only thing you hear on the television is about murder and war.
Yeah, well, what I've showed is in my book is not just the media, the mass media that they control through their corporations and whatever, but they also control the whole national security state and nation. This is what William Pollack, who was a computer expert, who actually was the one who came up with the idea around Nellis Air Force Base, you know, where Area 51 is, to put sensors in rocks to, you know, prevent intrusions and whatever. And he saw a craft at Tonopah there on Nellis and whatever, but he attended a meeting in which Baron von Puttenhammer, who was a German baron, flew in on a private jet escorted by fighters, and the top people in the United States briefed this German baron. And I did research on Puttenhammer, and he was brought in 1962 under Operation Paperclip, and then rose high in the NASA. And I think he's actually controlling the propaganda that's coming out of NASA, because his father was the Nazi propaganda minister for China, and got 30 years at Nuremberg.
Yeah, not surprising.
So these guys are infiltrated through our society and whatever, and actually Bilderberg kind of looks like, the Nazi Third or Fourth Reich, you know. They didn't get it by force. The fascists around the world didn't get it by force, so they've tried to do it covertly, and up to this point it's been working pretty good until the social networks and people are starting to become aware of the threat to all of us in this society.
Yes, indeed. Somehow we need to take over this group of, well, I wanted to say not a nice word, but let's say dishonest people, because only with honest people and with a good consciousness we can have a good world. And somehow I think, you know what you were saying about Syria and Egypt, when people are protesting, maybe this is also going to happen in Western countries like Europe and the States.
Yeah, this is what, and the problem is these elite in these countries, like in Syria, will fight to the death to maintain their privileged position in society. So that's why I'm very concerned about a civil war, you know, and hopefully we can avoid that, and that Bilderberg will crumble before it gets to that point or whatever, because they're not going to give up easily. Historically, like in Libya or in these other countries, when the people realize there was a better way of living and of life, you know, through the new media, through television and through computers and whatever, you know, they wanted that for their own society. But the leaders wanted to stop that, because if the people had that, you know, were able to transform society, they wouldn't have use for these people in these privileged positions and whatever. So they're willing to fight to the death for that. And so it's like that on a much larger scale. So, you know, what we've got to do, we've got a long, hard road ahead of us here. And the extraterrestrials just aren't going to come down here and sort this out for us. They expect us to, you know, have some personal responsibility as a species to deal with this ourselves. And then if we can, then I think they will, you know, help us to advance further. But we've got to get over this little hump.
Yes. Well, let's hope that soon there will be a change, and that people with the power and the ability to dismantle this new world disorder will be successful, and introduce us to this galactic family, to the benevolent and more evolved ETs.
We'll think of each other as one little African bee, you know, and a whole swarm of African bees, you know, once they realize that a bear or some big predator is robbing the hive and going to eat them all, you know, they mob the bear and can kill the bear. So what we're dealing with is in our society are top human predators. These guys they're dishonest, they lie, they deceive and whatever, because they're not interested in the truth. They're interested in power. And when you're interested in power, you know, you'll do anything to maintain that power. And so it's very hard for people that are interested in truth to understand those who are interested in power. And anything goes for a person in power, anything to get themselves into power and to keep themselves in power, lies, deception, everything. It's all the techniques of the predator. You know, we just have to go to look at nature.
Yes, we have to round up here because there's some wonderful family of me on BBS Radio who's having a show after us. So we have to stop here. I want to thank you, Ed, for this wonderful conversation and information. And I enjoyed speaking to you, and maybe in some time we can do another subsequent interview.
Yeah, thank you, and be sure to put the link to this up so we can spread it around Facebook.
We will, Ed, we will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.